Sunday the 21st of May 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Jesus as Servant. Sermon title, A Servant's Call. Bible reading, Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 11, and that can be found on page 726 in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow it. The calling of the first disciples. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you, Sue, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak will be your words, and that you, Lord, will encourage us to receive them, not just in our heads, but also in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. There once was an old stone monastery tucked away in the middle of a picturesque forest. For many years, people would make a significant detour to see the monastery. The peaceful spirit of the place was healing for the soul. However, in recent years, fewer and fewer people were making their way to the monastery. It turns out that the monks had grown jealous and petty in their relationships with one another, and the animosity was felt by those who visited. The abbot of the monastery was distressed by what was happening and poured out his heart to his friend Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a wise old Jewish rabbi, and after hearing the abbot's tale of woe, he asked if he could offer a suggestion. "Please do," responded the abbot, "anything you can offer." Jeremiah said that he had received a vision, an important vision, and the vision was that the Messiah was among the ranks of the monks. The abbot was flabbergasted. Who could it be? He knew it wasn't himself. But who? So he raced back to the monastery to share his exciting news with his fellow monks. The monks grew silent as they looked into each other's faces. Was this the one? The Messiah? From that day on, the mood in the monastery changed. They started talking again, leaving behind their petty jealousy and anger, and instead began serving each other, looking out for opportunities to seek healing and forgiveness where offence had been given, because none of them wanted to be guilty of slighting the Messiah. Word soon spread about the remarkable spirit of the place, which encouraged people to take the journey to the monastery once again, where they found themselves renewed and transformed. The monks' behaviour changed because they were told that the Messiah was among them. I wonder, do we act differently at work or socially than what we do in church? Because the thing is that the Messiah is always among us through his Holy Spirit, and he continually calls us to have a servant's heart, loving and respecting one another as we listen to his call on our lives, just as the disciples did when Jesus called them. This call remains the same today. He continually calls us to follow him. Are we willing to act on that calling? Or have we placed his calling on the back burner until we are ready? Because if we have, we might miss out on all that God has in store for us. Chapters 4 and 5 of Luke's Gospel describe three very important events: the beginning of Jesus' ministry as Messiah, the opposition this immediately brought about, and the specific calling of the first disciples. At the start of Jesus' ministry, what he did was more important than what he said, which is illustrated in the story of the monks. People expected more from them, as they do from us. And when they saw how they were treating one another, they stopped visiting the monastery. That is why our actions are more important than just speaking about Jesus. People are looking to Christians to reflect Jesus in their lives. And here's three things we can see in a servant's call. Firstly, it's a gracious call, because Jesus meets us where we are. We see Jesus walking along to where the disciples and peoples were. Often we expect people to come to us, but not so with Jesus. He travelled to where people were. Like when he saw Zacchaeus in a tree, he did not walk by, which others would have done, because Zacchaeus was seen as a cheat and a turncoat. But Jesus saw more than that. He saw the man and told him to come down because he must stay at his house. Zacchaeus came down and gladly welcomed Jesus. But the important part of this story is how this encounter changed Zacchaeus' life. And Zacchaeus is demonstrated an inward change by an outward action. It's not enough to follow Jesus in your head or heart alone, because it's about showing your faith by changed behaviour. God is able to use us in remarkable ways if we are only willing to listen when he calls. His call is compelling and life-changing. We may think of ourselves as ordinary people without much to offer. Not so with God. He knows each one of us, and he knows our capabilities. All he requires from us is a willing heart, ready to step out of the boat and take a chance on him. And you know, when we do, we will be amazed at the difference he can and does make in our lives. When God called me, like many others, I made every excuse I could think of. I'm not clever enough. The time's not right. I have my own family to care of, and I'm too old. But none of these excuses stopped God from continually calling me to take a chance on him. And when I finally did, what an amazing journey I had. Do you know, God never left me to travel it on my own. When I hit a hurdle, he put someone in the right place at the right time to ensure his calling came to fruition. All I had to do was to put my whole faith and trust in him, and he did the rest. Sometimes it might seem that God has chosen us to do something that is mediocre, until it is later revealed that the role chosen by God for us is, in fact, an important role. One that is just right for us, even if we are unable to see it at the time. Because there will be times when we might try to hinder God's call from reaching our full potential because we don't see the full picture. But God will often surprise us by unveiling someone's hidden talent or skill in a way that will prove to benefit those who might have underestimated him or her. There was a young man who was a friend to many with musical abilities and talents, but it was unfortunate that he was not as musically talented as they were. This young man, though, had a talent that was somewhat hidden from his peers and even himself. Then one day he harnessed his whittling skills to the challenge of building a violin, like the ones that his friends played. When he built his first violin, he showed it to his friends who played it. They were astonished and told him to go and show this violin to the best musicians of his day. And when he did, they agreed with his friends and said that this violin was the best quality violin that they had ever heard. Who was this person? His name was Antonio Stradivari. And secondly, it's a demanding call, a command, come, follow me. Jesus is called to become like him and follow his ways are very demanding, but also very rewarding. It requires unwavering commitment. The servant's call on our lives will be different, but the response is the same. Jesus calls us to service, to partner with him in the proclamation of the gospel. It's an intimate call, which is not just about preaching at people, but more importantly, it's about spending time with people, journeying with them, just as Jesus journeyed with his disciples. He did not leave them to struggle through on their own, but was at their side teaching and showing them how to become good and faithful servants. They were ordinary people carrying out their everyday tasks when Jesus came into their lives and changed their ordinariness into something amazing. The disciples' lives were not without difficulties, but Jesus helped them to face troublesome times, just as he helps us. Because when we choose to serve the Lord, there will be times that will be difficult. We may even become unpopular, because when we serve the Lord, Satan prowls around like a roaring lion trying to destroy the work God has called us to do. But when that happens, concentrate on maintaining a servant spirit and allow the Lord to guide you through those troublesome times, because all of us face problems in our life, and most of them are issues we can control. But sometimes we face ones that are beyond our control, and it's then that he will deal with those problems, giving us opportunity to fill our nets until they are overflowing. very similar to Simon Peter and his friends, who had been out fishing using every trick in the book to catch some fish. But they caught nothing. Feeling disillusioned with the day's fishing, they returned home, and the very next morning they saw Jesus sharing God's word, using a boat as a platform to teach the crowd. And then Jesus asked them to put the boat out into deep water and let down their nets again. At first they were reluctant, but obeyed, not really believing it would make any difference. But then came the bumper catch, which was so enormous that James and John had to go and help. The story of the great catch is more than just an account of a great catch. For it is not the fish that are hooked, but the fishermen. Can you imagine their faces? They were the fishermen. They knew how to catch fish. It was their job, and they had been doing it all their lives. Jesus was the son of a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? But by Jesus coming into their situation and telling them exactly what to do, it not only showed them who he was, but what he could do by changing their situation from failure into complete success. But more importantly, their lives were transformed because they listened and obeyed. Now was the time to call Simon Peter to be a disciple rather than just a listener, which meant that he would have to take an enormous step of faith and be prepared to leave his old way of life and follow Jesus, wherever that might lead. This event is one of the turning points in the life of the disciples. Our own experiences may be similar. Perhaps we have tried before and failed. But we must never give up, because we know about Jesus. We know who he is and what he can do. But there are still times when we remain uncommitted because we are unclear of our calling. The call may be sudden, knocking us off track for a while, or it could be a trumpet-like sound, or even an insistent, quiet call over a period of time. However we hear him call, it will be unique to us, as was Jesus' call to Simon Peter. And the moment we respond, our lives belong to Jesus for all time. So if that's you, don't delay. Respond and allow Jesus to use you in a mighty way, because he continues to call each and every one of us today. He has shown us that he is the Son of God, capable of miracles and healings, but more importantly, through his resurrection. And now it's our turn to move from just being listeners to becoming followers, leaving our old way of doing things behind, stepping out into a new, wonderful and exciting way of life, by hearing and responding to the servant's call on our lives, because Jesus is still in the process of changing and transforming lives, and he wants to change our lives, because the moment we show a reaction to his calling, he will take charge and guide us in the right direction. He will never give up on us, because our ability is often uncovered in how well or how poorly we make ourselves available for his service that he has called us to. And thirdly, it's an equipping call. Follow, and I will make you fishers of men. When God calls us, he gives us what we need to get the job done. Jonah had a problem with forgiveness because the people of Nineveh were his enemies. God, however, gave Jonah the attitude of adjustment that he needed to prophesy at Nineveh. And when he did what God sent him to do, the people of Nineveh repented. Even the king repented. Jonah, though, was hoping that God would let them have it, just like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. Jonah tried to avoid God's call, but he was eventually successful in carrying out God's will, because the message he spoke was the message that God gave him to speak. We could even say that God empowered Jonah in spite of his attitude. And Jonah's success proves the truth of the promise that God's word will not come back to him void. This is not a blanket promise, but has an important stipulation. A stipulation that we must not ignore what God is calling us to do, because God's word is guaranteed to accomplish what he pleases and to prosper in the thing for which God sent it. It may not accomplish what we please or the purpose for which we use it. In other words, God's word accomplishes God's purpose. God equips us and trains us for his calling. But we cannot just sit back. We have to go fishing by casting our nets where Jesus has told us to cast them. Anyone who goes fishing knows that fishing takes time and patience. The fish don't just jump onto the end of our rods. Neither will people. We have to journey with them. Fishing also requires quietness, to be still ourselves, so that God can direct our efforts, because a true fisherman is one who will persist at his task for hours on the mere possibility of making a great catch. And Jesus will teach us how to fish by giving us the right questions to ask and also to be able to answer them. Jesus said of some, "If they don't accept you, wipe the dust off from your shoes." In other words, there will be people who will not respond. But hey, all you have to do is to give the message, move on, and leave the rest to God. God does not leave us to flounder on our own. It's all in God's perfect timing for us to carry out his will. It is then that the call will be most effective, because what he needs from us is our response to his calling. God does not make mistakes when he calls us to a task. There are times when we avoid the call of God because it was not based on what we planned. We feel fine as long as we can determine where we will go and when we will go. But the truth of the matter is that unless we go where God has sent us, we will go in vain. Jonah's story is a testimony to this truth. God had called him to go to Nineveh to prophesy to the people, but Jonah ran, although in vain. We know the story probably off by heart. He got swallowed up by a whale, and 3 days later he was in Nineveh. It should not surprise us that God knows our talents and potential talents, because he knew of them even before we were born. God made each of us with a special purpose. It is God's will that we follow him, learning who we are as his children. He has called us, is calling us, and will call us to be in his service. First, God calls us to salvation. To be saved people, we need to hear the gospel, which tells of God's provision of a saviour, Jesus Christ, who offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who put their trust in him. Then God calls us to serve and to go and share his gospel with others. So if you believe that God is calling you in any way, shape or form, now is the time to cast your net and see how many fish you are able to catch, because your catch could be mind-blowing. Only God knows your full potential. Jesus, in the way he acted and spoke in this situation, and Luke, in the way he tells the story, are both intentionally turning a miracle catch of fish into a parable about catching people for the kingdom. In other words, Jesus was not merely teaching the word of God as he sat in the boat. He was showing something by his actions and words, and about how he means for his followers to win people for faith. When we get involved in reaching the lost, we have the assurance that the Lord goes before us. We don't have to blaze our own trail. The Lord has chosen his people, and we are cooperating with his eternal purpose in taking the gospel to those whom he has chosen, wherever that might be. The fishermen thought Galilee was their world until they truly met Christ and walked with him. John became the bishop of Ephesus. Peter went to Rome, and Andrew went as far as Russia, because their hearts were enlarged to take in the whole world. Greatness is not found in a title, a salary, or position of influence. True greatness is found in servanthood and a willingness to meet the needs of others without looking for recognition from people. God's word promises that he will honour your humility when believers finally realise that our calling is to serve, not merely to seek our own interests. Then we will have an irresistible impact on the world. God's calling is life-changing. What changes will you make to serve God and his ministry? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you do know each and every one of us. Father, there is nothing about us that you do not know. Father, we thank you that you have called each one of us. And now, Father, we pray that you would help us to step up to that calling, to do what you have asked us to do. Because, Father, there are loads of lost people out there in your world who need us to take your gospel to them. Show us, Lord, and give us the strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.